Elissa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the big esports show where weekends always start early. Be sure and join us each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Time and encore presentations on Saturday and Sunday right here at YSR, where we always deliver the biggest and the best. And right now it is time to focus our attention on some NBA talk and get a comprehensive breakdown on some of the big moves that transpired over this summer. We're going to be visiting with NBA TV's Jared Greenberg. Good evening, Jared. It's good to have you with us on the show for the first time.
Well, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, let's start off tonight's conversation with some of your takeaways from Las Vegas Summer League. I saw you out there, and how about the San Antonio Spurs and Becky Hammon's historic coaching debut? The NBA's first female Summer League head coach, she led her team to the title, and she has certainly proven that the NBA, it is not just a man's world. I mean, basketball is basketball, and Jared, gender doesn't matter, does it?
No, the boys' club is being invaded in a great way, and I think that... We so much in our industry just kind of fall back on the old cliche of the Spurs way, and I think we often have trouble quantifying what exactly that means or putting our finger on what San Antonio does better aside from just win. How do they come up with this formula? And I think this is just another piece to the puzzle of saying, you know, Greg Popovich wants people in the locker room, in the coaches' meetings, in the scouting meetings, to bring a different perspective. And what better than to bring a woman in who can talk about the game from playing at the highest level that she has, from being a point guard, from being somebody who has watched the Spurs from afar, then got a chance to be a volunteer assistant a couple of years ago when she was hurt and couldn't play in the WNBA, to now where she really has a great mind of a coach, and who cares if it's a man or a woman. And I think this is what Becky Hammon's talking about. She appreciates the trail that she is blazing, but at the same time, she understands that if she wasn't qualified for the job, Greg Popovich wouldn't hire her, man, woman, or whatever. And I think that it just goes to show you that this is the evolution of the game. We want different voices. We want new voices. We want to hear a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's been great to see how the players have responded to Becky and certainly respect her and played hard enough to win a championship out in Vegas.
You bring up a great point because, Jared, I know you spend a lot of time around the executives, the coaches, the players. I mean, what kind of feedback did you get from out there? And just this belief that, as we're talking about, that Coach Pop's belief to hire her and the faith that he has demonstrated.
Well, it's already spreading. Becky wasn't the only woman on a bench out in Vegas. Toronto had, and Lindsay Harding, as an assistant out there in Toronto, and she's kind of taken the year off from the WNBA. Nancy Lieberman was on the staff for Sacramento, and there's some talk that Nancy may very well join George Karl's staff full-time for this upcoming season, which would be a huge deal. And Nancy is one of the greatest to ever play the game. Her credentials, don't need to be mentioned. She's a legend of the game. So why wouldn't you want to have that type of voice around your team? I think that people always like to kind of steal from San Antonio because they are the gold standard of the last 20 years of basketball.
Uh-huh.
But this is just the latest example, there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's showing that basketball is evolving.
And it is progressing. NBA TV's Jared Greenberg is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. The Big Esports Show, I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. And Jared, connect with our audience across the country. Where can they find you online and at Twitter?
Well, at NBA TV Jared is the best way. Love Twitter. It's a great way to interact with the fans. And sometimes I feel like I'm their therapist. So, hey, I don't charge. You tweet at me and we can talk about anything you want.
Give you a new nickname, Dr. J, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. No, it's never been used before.
There you go. And just going back here for a moment, when we talk about Becky Hammon, I mean, what is your belief? I mean, do you see her, envisioning her as eventually being an NBA head coach? I mean, she's definitely on the radar, and she's proven her ability to connect and to execute and just the respect that she has from her male players at the highest level.
Yeah, I still think we're a long way from her being a head coach, and it has nothing to do with her being a woman. I just think it's the evolution of a coach, I think there's a misconception on what a summer league head coach is. Each team, every NBA head coach and the front office has a different way they utilize summer league, but very few teams actually have their quote-unquote lead assistant or the guys that serve as the top advisors, as assistants to the head coach of the regular season team on the bench for an NBA Summer League. The Summer League coaching staff oftentimes are the coaches that you see behind the bench during a regular season game, mm-hmm. or are the guys who are doing the scouting or working with the assistant general managers or in the scouting department or in the player personnel department. Summer League is not just for the players to develop, it's for the coaches to develop. And could Becky Hammon be a head coach one day? Sure, absolutely. But I think there were several, actually, coaches that were in similar positions as Becky Hammon, men who had only been assistant coaches in the NBA for one or two or 3 years. The Milwaukee Bucks had a similar situation where a guy who came with Jason Kidd from the Brooklyn Nets, who's only been on a bench for a couple of years, and this was his chance to be a head coach and gain his chops and learning how to design a game plan, how to call timeout, how to, you know, execute plays or draw plays in a huddle and know how to use a rotation. So I think it's a great learning ground, not just for the players, for the coaches. We see it with the referees, too. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Could Becky Hammon be a head coach? Sure, but I think we could talk about that in conversation with probably another handful of six, seven, eight, nine guys that were out in Vegas, Orlando, and Utah coaching their summer league team.
Okay, so Jared, you were out in Las Vegas. What were your top takeaways? I mean, who impressed you the most?
You know, all the big names had a lot of eyes on them. You know, I think Karl-Anthony Towns struggled a bit, but I think it's nowhere to the point where we're saying, oh, man, he shouldn't have been the top pick. I think Jahlil Okafor looked really good at times. I think he struggled sometimes with the game, with the speed of the game. D'Angelo Russell struggled a bit. You know, I think the guys who really took advantage of situations were number one, Emmanuel Mudiay, and him playing for Denver and playing as well as he did out in Vegas gave the Nuggets enough confidence to say, okay, we can trade away Ty Lawson, maybe not get back as many assets as Ty Lawson maybe would be valued at if he wasn't having the off-the-court issues. But we feel comfortable that Mudiay moving forward can be the future point guard in our organization. They also have Jameer Nelson in there to give him veteran presence. So I think Mudiay looked really good. But then I also think a lot of the second-year guys, who it's their second go-round in Vegas, they have an NBA season under their belt. Doug McDermott, for the second straight year, looked really good mm-hmm. out in Vegas.
Right.
He made the first-team All-Vegas League selection for the second straight year. A guy like T.J. Warren looked really special for the Phoenix Suns. There were really a handful of guys that really stood out. And you said, okay, their second year, they're ready now to take a step in the NBA and be an impact player.
NBA TV, Jared Greenberg with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And just a moment ago, Jared, you had mentioned the name D'Angelo Russell, and he kind of, in a ways, he got off to a slow start out there in Las Vegas. He disappointed a bit, but then he had a nice bounce back. He got the reprieve of, 21 points in one of those latter games against the Jazz. How do you view his game?
I think he'll be just fine. You know, I was really high before the draft on D'Angelo Russell. I thought he should have been the Lakers selection. I love that they went out and didn't do what many people thought would just be the obvious pick and take the big man in Okafor. You know, I thought their need would be more geared towards the backcourt. You know, D'Angelo Russell had trouble keeping the basketball, turned it over quite a bit.
Yeah.
Some of his passes were not as crisp as, you know, many of us who don't see him on a daily basis because we're focused on the NBA, but we had heard he'd be the best passer in the draft. He didn't look like he'd be a great passer, but I also have learned, and it's hard to do, but you really have to temper your emotions when watching these guys in summer league, because some guys who are great don't turn out to be really good in the NBA, and some guys who struggle turn out to have great seasons in the NBA. So, you know, Vegas and summer league action, it's just to kind of get a feel for it. I think, you know, guys like Russell and even, you know, John Wall years back, even though he had a really good summer league, turned over the ball too a lot, much like Russell, but it's not always just playing up to the speed of the game, but it's also learning how to tone it back a bit. You know, a guy like John Wall, and Russell may have this issue as well, when they play at 100 miles per hour all the time, the NBA, yeah, it's a fast game, but sometimes you got to bring your game back down to be a bit more under control. And mm-hmm. I think that's probably where D'Angelo Russell will find his 10 days or so in Vegas to be valuable, that it's not always putting a lead foot on the gas pedal. It's learning how to play at the appropriate speed, and I think that's something that will come with time. And I, you know, Jordan Clarkson was so good for the Lakers too that you got to feel really comfortable knowing that if Russell can't immediately ascended to that role of starting point guard. You got Russell, you've got the Jordan Clarkson. You can groom Russell a little bit, and I think if you're being honest with yourself, nobody has really high expectation for the Lakers this year, maybe outside of Laker Nation. But you know, you're not looking for D'Angelo Russell this year to be the leader of a team that's going to be challenging for you know, a home court advantage of the playoffs. I think Laker fans would be fortunate if they just are in the conversation for the eighth spot, which I don't see them being in right now.
What are your thoughts on some of the free agents that the Lakers picked up in the offseason? I mean, how would you grade this offseason and what they were able to accomplish?
Well, obviously it wasn't what they wanted to do. They wanted to land a marquee guy, and their target, their priority was LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, struck out on him.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what they're going to try and do now is prove that they have drafted and acquired, to a certain extent, young talent that now their hopes within a year or two is that they'll only be missing that star piece. You know, my thought process when the whole conversation was going down with LaMarcus Aldridge was, if you put LaMarcus Aldridge into the 2015-2016 Laker roster, are they even a playoff team, let alone a team that's going to contend for a title in that brutal Western Conference? My thought was no. I think they needed so many pieces that for a marquee veteran to want to come to L.A., it's not just about being in the number two market in the country. It's not just about the tradition of Laker basketball. It's about putting yourself in position to win a title. Yeah, you're going to make a lot of money wherever you play, but are you going to be happy on and off the court? And I think for a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, you look at the Spurs, and he plugs himself into a roster that's now, if not the favorite, the number two pick in the West to win the conference and go to the NBA Finals. With the Lakers, what I think they're really trying to hope for is that Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson, now D'Angelo Russell, can be the beginning of a core where they now need one, maybe two pieces in a couple of years down the road to be a serious contender. Right now, though, you're a free agent. You're looking at what the Lakers have to offer. You're like, well, what am I going to do that's going to make this team that much better this year?
Well, historically, the Lakers, they've always been able to attract those, you know, star free agents. And it seems like with today's players, Jared, that the tradition, the history, it doesn't seem to be as alluring, that type of past prestige.
Yeah, but with that tradition and history also comes a lot of sometimes unwarranted pressure and expectations. And I think players are understanding of you don't need to be in L.A., New York, or Chicago now to have these big marketing deals, to have these big advertisers paying you a lot of money. You don't need to have be in a top 10 market to get a huge shoe contract. Look at Kevin Durant, the hundreds of millions of dollars he got last summer, and he's playing in the second smallest market in the NBA right now in Oklahoma City. So I just think that there's players seeing value in putting yourself in a position to succeed, to look good. You know, maybe the other side of the argument is, well, they should want to be the trendsetter. They should want to be the guy that goes to a team and helps change the tide of the direction that they're going. But at this point, it's tough. You know, do you want to go to New York and L.A. and be expected to single-handedly turn over a franchise when realistically you look at a roster and you say, besides me, what else is there? And I think that's what makes it tough on these players to want to go to these historically tradition-rich franchises that right now are really depleted of much talent.
We are quickly running out of time. Jared Greenberg has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can check him out at NBA TV. One more quick hit. Talk to me about, I mean, as far as the Lakers and the Knicks, you just mentioned the Knicks. I mean, who had the better offseason?
I think the Lakers did, only because they set themselves up to be a better team in terms of attractiveness next summer. I think they're a team that will be able to lure a free agent quicker that can help change the course of the franchise more than the Knicks, who will complement Carmelo Anthony. You know, we don't think Kobe Bryant will be there beyond this year. So I think the Knicks are a team that added some pieces, and they're in the weaker Eastern Conference, so they could probably get better faster this upcoming year. But I think long-term, the Lakers are in much better shape than the Knicks are.
Okay, Jared Greenberg's been with us from NBA TV. We appreciate you joining us tonight right here at YSR. Thank you so much, Jared.
You got it. Anytime. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Join us online at Twitter @eRadioSports. We will be right back.